And turn your Bibles, will, to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. As we consider the thought here and things that we started looking at last week regarding death. Death, a very real thing. It is for mankind, it is a problem, if you will. And the Scripture speaks to us much about it. And so we need to know what the Scripture says so that we might have help and blessing and peace from our Lord in things that would make us afraid or trouble us. The Lord has provided good, right instruction for us in His Word about things. And so this is kind of what, this is one of those things. And I was thinking as Brother Doug was teaching the Sunday school class this morning, and appreciate very much those things that he brought forth. You know, come and be a student of God's Word, okay? Don't look at the services that we have, and we're blessed to have the services. We're commanded of the Lord to come meet together to worship Him. But don't view our coming together as a time to rest, okay? Today is a day of rest, and we're taken apart from the things that we normally do and coming to together to meet the Lord, meet together and worship the Lord together. But don't come to the services just to take a break and take it easy. Come to feed on the Word of God. I encourage those, and maybe there's some that I haven't, but those that are newly saved, I encourage them, read your Bible, study your Bible. You don't know how to study your Bible? Ask me. I'll help you to understand how to study your Bible. Get you a notebook. Find out and mine out questions in the Word of God that you have. Maybe I would teach on something. One of the brethren would teach on something. One of the Sunday school class teachers would teach on something that would cause you to spur a question. It would bring a question to mind. Maybe in your reading or listening to the Word of God, you would have a question. You know, write those down. Pray about that. Ask the Lord of that. And put the Word of God, get the Word of God together. All right, working in your life and your life as a child of God to ask the Lord to help put the Word of God, the Bible, together for you, how it fits. Have questions. If you have questions, I promise you, you'll get answers, okay? But if we just, if our approach to the Word of God is just kind of like we receive what we get in a service, or we just kind of read by rote or listen by rote and don't seek to put the Word of God together, it will only go so far. We'll maybe know some facts, we'll know some pieces and parts. But have questions, ask questions, ask the Lord for answers to your questions, and put things down. Our brother mentioned something this morning that is good. Other brethren have too. But he mentioned about that point, and those are good scriptures for you to get jotted down, memorize, get a handle on, know where they are, write them in the front of your Bible. That salvation is in a person. See, that's good foundational information and scriptures from the Word of God that you can tell others that you're trusting in the man of salvation and not the plan of salvation. You hear me? And so that's good. These messages here about death convicted me and worked in me about bringing these messages, these chapters right there in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. Well, if you take a look and consider about what they say about death, it is a great part of the Word of God to witness to people about what Christ has done regarding death. Okay? And so you get that in your heart, get that in your mind, and then when you run into somebody, you talk to somebody, the Lord will take that and bring it out, and you can show them for yourself what the Word of God says about it as an example. And so encourage you in that. If you would like to have the Scripture in recorded form so you can listen to it on your MP3 player or in your vehicle or whatever on your phone, and you need some help with that, I'll help you with that. Listen to that Word, read that Word, take that Word in. That's what you need to do, is take it in to you, and the Lord will take it and bless you with it and help you and use you in His service. Without the Word of God, yeah, you have salvation in Christ, but then what? How do you serve? How do you walk? How do you witness? How do you live for the Lord without the Word of God in you? We're going to be limited, aren't we? And so we need the Word of God in us. May the Lord help in that. If you've got questions about that, ask. Here in Genesis chapter 2, we read in verse number 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord gave him things to do in that." Verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every green tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." We know that the Lord did this. He told them about death before there had ever been death. Okay, you ever consider that? He told them, you eat that, you disobey me, sin equals death. And so in chapter 3, in verse number 6, we'll read not as much as we did last time, but we want to see here in verse 6, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together, made themselves apron. And they heard," verse 8, "the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." Adam did die, didn't he? He did die. He died spiritually, where he was at ease and comfortable and enjoyed fellowship with the Lord. Now, having sinned against God, a law, a working of God, a declaration, the design of God, sin against him, it equals death. God put it in place. It's as much as we experience gravity. It's as much as the way the Lord has made our bodies and our bodies function and work. He made it, and it is so. Disobey God, it equals death. And so we read in Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, the Lord said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam didn't drop dead that day, but death spiritually was manifested in him, having been made innocent. He died spiritually, having had the ability to be able to communicate and fellowship with God. He lost that because of his willful disobedience against his creator, his God. And then we see in Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, "And the days, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." And so we see here the manifestation of his physical death. Last time we say and reiterate, last time in the last message we saw that sin equals death. It is a law put in place by God, if you will. We saw last time that the death of mankind is so, and that there's nothing that we can do to stop it. We cannot stop death's coming. We can't do it. We don't have the power to. We read in Ecclesiastes that no man hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. There was only one that had that power, and that is the Lord Jesus. And then we read in Hebrews 9, where it says that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Adam disobeyed God, and he died spiritually, didn't he? Adam disobeyed God, and he died physically, didn't he? And then there's something there, and I'm wanting to know and wanting to have things in the right place, but you understand, in the case of Adam, and in our case, too, being his children, you know, we were born spiritually dead into this world. We inherited that from our father. And so we came spiritually dead into this life. Okay? And then we face physical death. And then one that faces physical death without having a remedy for the spiritual death ultimately arrives at the second death. Isn't that something? Which is also a spiritual affair. And so here in Hebrews, it's appointed unto men once to die. Because of sin, we have died spiritually. We are dead spiritually. It's appointed unto man to die once physically. There's no reincarnation. But the good news is, so was Christ. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And of them that look unto him shall he appear the second time without sin. He's not going to have to deal with sin anymore, is he? Now, for the sake of his people, he dealt with it when he came, which we're going to see some about today. He'll appear the second time without sin unto salvation, complete and full salvation. When we see him, we'll see him as he is, for we shall be like him. We'll be completely saved. Our bodies will be in a glorified body like unto his. And so we saw that it is that way, and those things are there and in place, and it is just as much dying is as much a fact of life as living life. It is there. And so we want to deal with it, and we want to deal with it scripturally and find out what the scripture says. In Romans chapter 5, we saw in this chapter that sin brought death, a reiteration of that, more detail about it, if you will, or an explanation of it. Sin brought death, and death has reigned among men. Even when there wasn't a law, even when there wasn't an open declaration of God, a detailed explanation about it, it still reigned. Because before Moses, when the law was given and details about such, and the Lord had given some moral indication to different men and his dealing with men and families until the time we begin to see Abraham dealt with and Isaac and Jacob, and then a turning from God dealing with men and families to him dealing with nations and through the dealing with the world through the nation of Israel. But even before there was the law, even before it was spelled out in great detail by God, it was so that death reigned because of sin. There wasn't one man that was able to hang on to life without the Lord intervening. You know why Enoch was translated and was not? Because God did something for him. But you know what happened with all the other millions and maybe even billions of people that lived otherwise? They died. Because man has sinned against God. It's that way. And so we saw that. Just a few scriptures here. Romans 5, verse number 6. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Well, focus on those things that talk about death and dying and those words there, okay? And that which is relative to it, okay? But God committed his love toward us, verse 8, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He entered into death, who knew nothing naturally about death. He took it on. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We don't have any expectation of the wrath of God upon us, do we? Being saved, because Jesus has intervened. Jesus has saved us. Verse 10. For if when we were the enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Listen, it gets better than that. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We're connected, aren't we? We're connected. We're brought into that. We're drawn into that which Christ has done and will do and is doing, aren't we? Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Took care of those sins. Ha! Took care of that death. Amen? Right? We've received it. We've got it. He is your Christ, isn't he? Amen? Is he your Savior? Yeah, he is your Messiah, your Savior, for you, by whom I have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that's what Adam did, and death by sin, there it is on the heels of sin is always death, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam was guilty. He did it to us, and you and I are guilty too, and we've done it to ourselves. But praise be to God for his son. We could skip on down to Romans 5 to verse 20. In review, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, might be shown forth that we're guilty, that it is true that we all have sinned against God. We're guilty. It's true. It's there. We deserve death. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's Jesus that died. He applied it to his people. It's Jesus that took on death, not you and I. We can't hang on. We cannot hang on. But Jesus took on death. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace. Jesus giving what we need to take care of sin, take care of death, and make us his own and give us life in him. That as sin hath reigned unto death, so may even grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ my Lord. How about you? Amen. By Jesus Christ my Lord. He took care of these things for me. So in Romans 5, we see that sin brought death, and death has reigned among men until Jesus got involved. Okay? Chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's take a look over here now. What does this chapter speak to us? Again, focusing on this subject of death. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin because we're set free from death and sin, that grace may abound? If grace is that great, how about sinning some more so it can be manifested even more? No, no. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid that. God hates sin. That's how ugly our sin is and was, that it took the terrible death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering of our Savior, to deal with that. Sin is ugly, and the death of our Savior in and of itself, the abuse of him, the unfairness of it, the innocent given for the guilty. One has said, I heard years ago, a man that did not understand and did not believe about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the necessity of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that bloody religion of the death of a Savior is obscene. And the response of the man that was dealing with him there says, no, that was not obscene. What was obscene was my sin that put him there. That was obscene and is obscene. He says, God forbid, how shall we, listen, that are dead to sin, huh? We're dead to sin now. There's something, there's been a change. Live any longer therein. We are not to do so. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? There's this thing of baptism, the lowering of a believer that is gave witness and testimony of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ of their soul. They are baptized. They're put down in those baptismal waters. We're baptized. It mentions about this. He says, what is it? His death, baptism is identification with that. Those words there, let's read it. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? He died. He would never die, but he took it on and he died. And this thing of baptism is an identification with him dying. Okay? Those words, his death. Baptism is identification with Christ and his death for you. As many, what's it say? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You identify with Christ. You identify with his death, the necessity of his death. What we're going to see in this chapter is this whole thing about death by the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be turned around. We're going to see that in this chapter and the coming chapters. Goes on, therefore we are buried. What do you do with a dead person? They're buried, aren't they? And they are to be buried, not burned. They are buried. Therefore, we are this identification with his death. Therefore, baptism that shows his death, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead, he was dead 3 days, 3 nights. He couldn't stay there because he's God. He entered into death and dealt with death, but death wasn't going to have a hold on him. Now, death will have a hold on me and you, but it wasn't going to have a hold on him. He was going to engage death. He was going to deal with death. He entered in willfully. Remember how the scripture says? He yielded up the ghost. He decided when he would die. And he entered into death willingly, unlike you and me. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, he rose from the dead, right? By the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Death, our death, is a very serious, grave thing. But the death of the Lord Jesus and his working and his defeat of death, and now our association and identification with that, takes on a new meaning, doesn't it? As the Lord lives, so we live. You know what? How are we going to get out of these old bodies? These old wretched men that we carry around on our back? It'll be by death, won't it? Okay? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's talking about living now. Live like you are saved. Live like you have been rescued. We should. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, that we're planting, it's akin to the burying, it's speaking about baptism. And for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we didn't die with him, but we are baptized in the likeness of his burial, his death, and that, right? It says, we were buried with him in baptism. The definition or the indication of baptism is burial because of death. We have died to something. Baptism is, again, identification with Christ and his death for the individual, for me, for you, if you claim it. Does the death of the Lord Jesus Christ alarm you? Well, it's pitiful about how bad my shape was that it took that to be. But then having seen that and heard that and believing that, it is necessary in it. Amen. It's terrible that he had to, but oh, praise his name that he did. Amen. Hear me? Hear me? And so in verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If we're hooked up with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're identified, we're saved by him, we needed his death, we are associated with his death, we're connected for his death. He did not die for himself, but he died for the likes of me, for the likes of you, if you're here and saved, then we have this promise, we'll also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Isn't that something? Baptism, again, is identification with Christ and his death for me, his death for you. Verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Man, death has taken on a different look, isn't it? It's necessary that this old body be destroyed. It's necessary that this old body be mortified. And don't get ahead of the situation and the thing at hand, because it's the Lord's job to decide when this body's going to die. Self-murder is not right before God. Yes, long for being with the Lord Jesus Christ, but don't take that issue into your hands. We're going to see, I'm afraid it's going to be, as we go on in time, we're going to be seeing more and more and more. And maybe of people that we would be surprised that would be. And I know that there's kind of a stigma about talking about suicide. I feel the necessity of sometime in the future about preaching a message about suicide. And we're seeing that self-murder. May God help us. We all could be subject to it and be snared by that and fall into that. But may we believe God and his commandments that we are not to murder anyone, including ourselves. There's no justification for it. God has commanded that it should not be. But I'm afraid in our society we're going to see more of that manifested as people despair. They are self-centered and selfish about what they want resting in what the Lord has in store, and that's what it's about. And so may the Lord help that. We know that we're going to be going to the Lord. We know that this old man needs to be crucified, verse 6. He needs to be mortified. There'll be no escape without the death of this physical body. But the Lord is able, and the Lord is gracious and merciful and helpful to get us along in life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that's part of our identification with him in baptism, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Commit sin that grace might abound? No, God forbid. Jesus died for our sins. Do we keep on pursuing after that? No, we're to eschew it, to put it away, to not go that way. Even though this old mind and this old body would want to do so, we need to pin it down, mortify it, make it to where it cannot. And asking for the Lord's help and grace to be strong in him and to rest in him, and don't serve sin. Death now. Death now is speaking about being free from sin. Hear that, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. What do you and I live most? Do we live a physical life or a spiritual life? Well, Brother Jim, I live a physical life all the time. Indeed. But do you live that physical life spiritually? Or do you live that physical life carnally? Do you and I go about what we see and what we hear and what we taste and what we feel and let that be our decision? Or do we on all things that we engage and come in contact with in this physical life, do we engage what the Lord says about it first? Hear that? If we live in the Spirit, Ephesians tells us, we need to walk in the Spirit. Amen. If we that walking is talking about the physical. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 8. Now, if we be dead, okay, Now, being dead is a good thing, okay? If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, coming and now, amen? Death, the Lord Jesus Christ getting involved with death and taking death on has totally turned the thing around, okay? Now, if we be dead, he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead, verse 8, with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Live with him now. Live with him then. Dead with Christ. If you identify with Christ and his death for you, you will live. The song said, I just started living. The Lord's given me a brand new life. Changed my direction. He washed away all my strife. I'm a believer. I'm trusted in him. He's taken care of this terrible, terrible thing for me. Oh, praise his name. Amen. We look to him for it. He has done so for me. What else is there for me to do than to follow him and love him and honor him in all things? Amen. He's done so. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, listen to this, dieth no more. He stepped into death, he engaged death, that he might take death and bust death wide open, that he might defeat death. Every other one that's ever lived has always been held in dominion and captive by death, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. He got down there in the middle of death for 3 days and three nights. Remember what Lazarus' sister said? He'd been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. He took his life back again, didn't he? He's raised from the dead, dieth no more. Listen. Death hath no more dominion over him. I tell you what, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't forget that. You that are here without Christ as Savior, you don't have that. But you can through Jesus. Because Jesus is mine and I am his. I am there in that place that death hath no more dominion over me. Well, Brother Jim, you're 48 years old, right? Am I 48? I can't remember how old I am sometimes. I am facing death only physically. And it'll be a release. And that's in the Lord's time when he wants to bring me on home, barring his return for us in the clouds. But there's no other death. There's no spiritual death anymore, is there? Been made spiritually alive. Amen? Spiritual death is gone, isn't it? And then there's no facing the second death. That's done too in Christ. You hear me? It's only now death is just to get out of this old man. And that's in the Lord's hands. Oh, glory to God for what he's done. Amen? He dieth no more. And I've got him. He's got me. I'm just going to die once. And it'll just be a memory. It'll pass in the presence of the Lord Jesus. It'll just be a flash, a passing. Oh, what a rest we have in the Lord. Knowing that Jesus, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Remember what we saw in chapter 5? Sin brought death, and death has reigned and had dominion among men for 6,000 years. But not with Christ. Not anymore. Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once. Not his sin, but my sin. And my sin brought death. And you know what? He stepped up there and dealt with it. For me. Not for himself. He said, I'm taking Jim's sins. I'm taking my child's sins and I'm putting them on me. And because of that sin that I'm not guilty of, but I'm taking it, it was imputed unto him. He said, I'm going to step up there and I'm going to take the death that goes with it. And he did that, didn't he? And he made himself subject to it. And then he defeated it by taking his own life back again. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. He became subject and entered into death once, and then defeated it by coming back to life. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Likewise, like Christ is. He dealt with sin once. He dealt with death once. How about you and me as children? We need to reckon and think and consider we're dead to that stuff too. It's past. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What are you living for? You living for self? Or are you living for the Lord? Do we feel like we give up everything about life to live for the Lord? I tell you, it's a blessing to live for the Lord. It's a blessing to be touched by the Lord. It's a blessing to be having been rescued by the Lord. What else would we rather do? Amen? But live for the one that has given us eternal life. Doesn't this give a broadening of our understanding about everlasting life and what the Lord did in dealing with death? Does that not crack that open for us to understand more about everlasting life and Jesus having dealt with death for us? It does. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed to sin. This is an answer to the question in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we are, as it says in verse 8, dead with Christ, then we are, as Christ, dead indeed to sin. Christ isn't going to come and deal with sin anymore. He's dealt with it. Sin is a dead issue with him. He's dealt with it, taken care of it, paid for it, and it is done. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. There are desires of the flesh. Don't obey them. Don't obey them. This old body still hates the Lord. Hates the Lord's way, hates the Lord's word. This old mind still hates the Lord. Understand that. It's just a sober understanding of the way that this old body and this old flesh wants to do what pleases it. Take into consideration everything it wants to do and make sure it's holy and right before God. May the Lord help us in that. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't use this body in a bad way, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. We've died to sin. We've died to self. We've died to the way of the world. And all those are good things, even though death is mentioned in them. Isn't that something? How the Lord Jesus Christ getting involved changes all that? It's good to be dead to self, to sin, and to the world, to the way of Satan. It's good to be dead to those things. It is indeed. And don't yield ourselves that way. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and that your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Jesus has graciously given us that which we needed. Sin has no more dominion over him. He died once to sin. He experienced death once. He dies no more. And he's given that unto us. He's given that to me. How do you put a price on that? Satan said it himself. A man will give everything he's got for his skin, for his life. And Jesus has taken on death, carried my sin, paid for it, and given me life. Free. Free. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that glorious in what the Lord has done for us? For sin shall have no dominion over you, verse 14, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. No, sin, the Lord's done with sin, we need to be done with sin. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom you obey? Whether to sin unto death, remember sin brings death. The Lord dealt with that. Whatever you pursue, whatever you do, that's the servant that you and I belong to. Don't let it be sin. Because remember, sin without Jesus equals death. All right? Sin without the Lord equals, but death with Jesus equals release. Or of obedience unto righteousness. Which should we do and pursue? Sin equals death. Verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, teaching, which was delivered you. They heard the gospel, they believed, they trusted in Christ and those things of Christ. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. Have you heard it? Have you been called? Do you hear him speaking to you? Verse 18. That being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's who we belong to and what we serve. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. I'm laying this out in carnal terms. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, that's the past. Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and unto holiness. You've been visited by the Lord. There's a change. There's a new way. There's a new life. Follow after that. Why? Having been blessed and saved by the Lord and given what you've been given, why would you go back to those meek and beggarly elements, right? Why go back to the baseness and carnality of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind and the pride of life, as the scripture says in other places? Why? We've been given life. We've been given a defeat over death. We've been freed and cleansed from our sins. Why? Why? Verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Remember that. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? What permanence, what eternal blessing was there in those things that we followed after? What was there? Huh? For the end of those things is death, right? Because sin equals death. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. We've been brought to a place by Christ that we can lay up treasure in heaven. Before the Lord saved me, I was storing up wrath unto judgment. But now, in obeying the Lord, serving the Lord, walking in the light, walking humbly with God, enjoying the scripture and the fellowship with the Lord, the fellowship of God's people, being blessed to not only be saved, but be a member of one of his churches. We've been blessed with life and righteousness and good things. Not an old wicked dead way. Not an old wicked separation from God. The end of those things was death indeed, but we're made free and we can bear fruit. That's a testimony unto the graciousness, the gloriousness, the goodness of God. Amen. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Because remember, children, for, because the wages of sin is death. Sin equals death. The payday of sin is death. Don't ever forget that. But the gift of God, that grace of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What do you want? Wages of sin or the blessedness of a free gift? Amen. I want the gift, don't you? And have the gift in Christ. We're not done yet. Philippians chapter 3, as we just look at some other scriptures, and we're close. Hang in there with me. In Philippians chapter 3, we see in this chapter that Jesus Christ has defeated death. Sin brought death, and death has reigned amongst men in chapter 5. But here in chapter 6, we see our Lord Jesus Christ experience death in order to defeat death. Just quickly, a few scriptures. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. That ye may know him and the power of his resurrection. This is what the apostle desired for the folks at Philippi. That he might know the fellowship of his sufferings. What he did to win that for us, being made conformable unto his death. That's a good thing. Lining right up with Christ, resting in that death, resting in him and what he's done. Listen to this. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, this isn't a question of the Apostle Paul, whether he'll make it through or not. But it's a desire of the child of God to be faithful. Perseverance of the saints. That he might run a good race, that he might have a good report, that he might be a good witness and enter in into the presence of the Lord and hear from him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. The power of his resurrection, that we might know these things, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, dying to sin, dying to self, dying to the world, dying to the way of Satan, and looking forward to that resurrection, looking forward to that eternal, complete eternal life. We have eternal life now, but this old body and mind doesn't have it yet. It's promised. It's coming. But the salvation is not complete yet. He died to defeat death, being made conformable unto his death. 1 Peter chapter 3. He died to defeat death, and he did so by what this scripture says here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Once. The just for the unjust. He's just and I'm the unjust. That he might bring us to God. Now he can bring Jim. He can bring you, child of God, right up there to the Lord. Being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. He died to defeat death by his resurrection. Understand that. That's the gloriousness of the resurrection. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, speaking of the Lord Jesus, whom God hath raised up, listen to this, I love this, having loosed the pains of death. Death doesn't have dominion over us. Yeah, this old body is going to die, but how is that bad? How is it bad that this old flesh is going to die? Oh, we miss our loved ones and we love them and we love our brothers and sisters in Christ and we miss that fellowship for a time. Because being in Christ, we will see one another again as we're there with our Lord. He's loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. He can't be held by it. Our Lord Jesus indeed has abolished death. Let's turn over here to 2 Timothy and read this again. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, the apostle writes, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, that's that grace, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. He came. God planned it before the foundations of the world, but he came in time who hath abolished death. Amen. Loose the pains of death, abolished death. He entered into death, not being obliged in one, not in one instant, but he willingly entered into death, became subject to death, and then defeated death by his resurrection. He's abolished death and hath brought life and immortality, everlasting life, as we're there in glory with our Savior, to light through the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher of the Gentiles. The choir sang, he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. Does he? Along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. Impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. Isn't that so for the child of God? He lives within us. He's taken care of death, dealt with death, and he's defeated death for us. May the Lord help us to rejoice in that. And may the Lord help us to have the right biblical perspective about this thing, this very real thing of death. Oh, may we be motivated more to tell those that are without Christ about him. Because death is real. We've been saved from it. And may God help us that we would tell others about salvation in Christ.